His column was global in its reach. Portuguese pronunciation, Indian languages and Chinese characters found a home alongside the more obvious German and French, Greek and Latin. Despite the odd potshot at the youth and yobs, he wrote admiringly of Caribbean patois, black American vernacular and rural English dialects. Johnny Grimond, who wrote most of the Economist's style guide, calls him a keen contributor, but mostly to suggest rules for deletion, not addition. His column twice quoted Churchill as saying the rule forbidding a preposition at the end of a sentence was the kind of nonsense up with which I will not put. Alas, Churchill never said it, the kind of misstep Stephen would not have made in the age of Google. Indeed, he did not mention the internet until a Christmas piece in 1999. He drank in the world's languages the old-fashioned way. He was born in Egypt, brought up in Scotland, and was variously an encyclopedia salesman in America, a soldier in Germany, and a junior journalist in India. And he was a lifelong reader. A stubborn legend pursued Stephen, that he threw a typewriter out of his office window in a rage, or perhaps intended to but failed to break through the glass, or perhaps it was a phone through a window in an internal door. No two versions of the story are the same. He himself denied it in a History of the Economist published in 1993, but he told the book's author he could understand why people might believe it. Yet his frantic bursts of irascibility would be followed by graceful and kind conversation, as though nothing was untoward. Friends and colleagues remember surprising tenderness. He collected glass artifacts. He lavished affection on children visiting the office. Perhaps his most lyrical piece for the paper was a tour of the English churchyards he cherished, finding poignant gravestones of both great and humble. And yes, he was in love with language. He knew words could be weapons, but they were the best kind. His son, David, recalls a cover of The Economist that showed a Palestinian and Israeli shouting in each other's faces, and his father saying, "What a hopeful picture that is." To his puzzled child's inevitable "why," he replied, "They're talking to each other."